On Tuesday, the 7th of May at 9 a.m. at the Manukau District Court, my cameraman Jonathan Clark and I are going on trial for an inexplicable case. That's the only way I can put it. This Substack article was put up just over a year ago. And in fact, it's based on a letter which I wrote the morning after the incident at the airport. Sean Plunkett of The Platform had been sending me many messages saying he would give me a fair hearing on The Platform. I knew, having worked with Sean years ago, as well as seeing him in the way he approaches anybody who's questioned anything about the jabs in the last few years, I knew that he would hog the microphone and not give me a fair voice. So I wrote to him and said, instead, I will write you a letter and I will see how you deal with it. When he got this letter, which I'm about to read to you in my voice, he read the whole thing in the most sarcastic tones he could muster. He used his best efforts, as he always does, when it comes to me, to diminish and demean and dismiss the important work that I've done and the important points that I have to make. So because he so defiled this letter, and because we are about to be in court again, and because I wrote this right from my heart and from the place of truth, I'm going to read it as I wanted it to be read. I'm going to read it with sincerity and with dignity, something which Sean Plunkett seems incapable of offering. Sean, over the past 2 years, I've heard of your incessant cant that I am mad and certifiable, as facile dismissals of a woman of stamina, courage, intelligence, and above all, a deep and abiding love for the New Zealand in which I grew up and which is now becoming so lost to a covertly set up fascism. I had to face down a fascist, thuggish brute on Saturday night at the airport, a man of bulging steroidal biceps in a too small shirt with a tiny neck and possibly similar intellectual capacity. He was clothed in the newly adopted fear and force uniform of police I no longer recognize, respect, or even understand. It was deeply traumatizing, as it has been for all the other brave and innocent Kiwis physically abused by police during Cindy's perfidious reign of terror. Think Freedom Village, that river of heroes a year ago. Why would I today expose myself to yet more abuse, albeit the verbal, loud, and bombastic type, from you? If you wonder at my reply, here are two words to remind you why you carry this dark cloud before you, Sean. Brenton, faithful. He was a good and ethical and deeply brave Kiwi who trusted you to give him the safety and respect of an open platform, to let him present his well-founded and observed evidence. And then all you did was shout him down. That interview with Brenton is a verbal metaphor for the 15 seconds it took that police thug to begin battering me. He gave me zero chance to speak. He charged in behind me, chest puffed out, tall, dead-eyed, robotic, soulless. His rapid-fire abuses included several attempts to break my thumb by wrenching it back, actually fracturing my wrist, causing twisted tensions in the tendons and fascia through my elbow up to my neck. And all I had asked him was one brief and important question for all Kiwis to ask when faced with police bullying and overreach. Under what legislation are you purporting to do this? When he charged at me, his guttural command was telling us to get out of the airport for simply filming friends arriving. The airport people had not verbally trespassed us. We had zero discussion It was as if we were in some communist Chinese camp to be ordered around and totally dehumanized for holding a camera. We make no regular income and are not a commercial enterprise. We do this mahi from love and are both volunteers for a crucial service to tell the myriad truths that are being hidden by a government and our shameful mainstream media. I am 63, weighed less than half that Hulk size, offered no resistance, and within 15 seconds he had my arms sharply and very roughly high twisted behind my back, was pulling at my thumb while contorting my hand at the wrist and kicking me under my body. As I screamed out, "Stop it, you're hurting me," he grunted with animalistic satisfaction, "Good." There is much else I could tell you if I could trust you, Sean, to not degenerate into bombast in your mercurial way, but this last bit will do for now. Once he had viciously cuffed my hurt wrist, for no reason except intimidation and dominance, I had offered no resistance. I repeated my question. I was at all times in lawyer mode, seeking answers and exploring my rights calmly and cogently. I said twice, "Could you please tell me under what piece of legislation you were doing all this?" The second time he snarled at me, "I don't have to tell you that." "Since when, sir?" I replied. "Since forever," came the lamentably unintelligent and untrue reply. The saddest part of that? That we have someone in frontline police of such excess bulk, yet with such total dearth of morality, humanity, compassion, decency, or even the mental firepower to understand the laws under which he is meant to be operating. How can our police have sunk to such desperately low standards of recruitment? This alone reflects on the manifest ineptitude of Andrew Costa, of whom many thousands of Kiwis now speak with total derision and disrespect, and through whose endless lies most of us now see clearly. Sean, our police are vastly abusing their powers. I have many stories of their abuses and can now personally testify to their violence and arrogance and lack of depth of understanding of the laws that are meant to hold them in check. Are not those very qualities the hallmarks of creeping and sinister fascism? Saturday was my turn. Next week, it could be any one of your listeners. Unless we stand together and say enough to state and police lies and overreach, we will lose the New Zealand we love to a sad little Pacifica version of the horrors of China. My case is a wake-up call to all those Kiwis who looked away from Cindy's brutalities. It was never about health. It has always been about the slow march of state control over our once free lives.